Well, hi there, and welcome back to Conversations with Father Greg. In today's episode, we have a homily for Sunday, April 7th, 2024, which is the second Sunday in the season of Easter. Let's begin our time together today with a reading from the Gospel of John. John writes, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not yet with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.' Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." The Gospel of Christ. Dear God, may only your truth be spoken and only your truth be heard. Amen. Well, hi there, everyone. When I was a kid, my brother and I were fortunate enough to know both of our grandmothers. Also, I may have mentioned before that my mother had a sister who was 18 years older than she was, so it was like having a third grandmother. When we spent time with our grandmothers, one of my favorite things to do with them was to sit quietly and go through photo albums together. I was always amazed to see the people that I knew looking so much younger than the way that they did in what was then the present. It was also an opportunity to see people that I had only heard about in family stories. If I close my eyes and concentrate, I can still see my grandparents standing on their front porch holding their first grandchild, my cousin. I can see a younger version of my uncle, proudly leaning, arms crossed, against the hood of his brand new 1964 Buick LeSabre. The memory of that photo is so vivid, I can almost smell the pine-scented cardboard Christmas tree hanging from the rearview mirror. We would sit together for what seemed like hours, and those family stories became more and more familiar. This is how those images and those legends were passed down from one generation to the next. That's not unlike what we experience as we gather as church and listen to the familiar legends of our faith. Each year, as we celebrate the Easter season, we have a number of Bible stories in which people encounter the resurrected Jesus. Today we have one such story, so culturally familiar that it has spawned the old expression, a doubting Thomas. John's Gospel describes a scene in which most of the disciples had gathered together in a small room. There was no indication that they were planning anything more than a simple gathering of grieving friends who were trying to take comfort in each other's company. John tells us that it was still the first day of the week. Earlier that day, a few of Jesus' faithful disciples had discovered his empty tomb. Now they gathered together, still reeling from the events of the last few days. They were afraid of what might happen next. What would they do now? How would they go on? Unbeknownst to them, their lives were about to change again. Despite their anxiety and fear, God showed up in the person of the resurrected Jesus. They recognized the wounds, the face, and the voice. Imagine the flood of emotion, joy, shame, fear, and wonder, and of course hope. Wave after wave of emotion flooding their hearts and minds. The room must have filled with questions, but it also filled with faith. They were gradually realizing that everything that Jesus had predicted was actually coming true. As incredible as it seemed, Jesus had not simply faced trial, execution, and burial. He had overcome them. He had experienced all of those things and was now standing in their midst talking to them. How could this experience not affect the way that the disciples understood both Jesus and the world around them? John tells us that one of the disciples named Thomas was not there for this encounter with Jesus. When the others described what had happened, Thomas had just as many questions as the other disciples had. Thomas said that he needed physical proof. He wanted to see Jesus in person and to touch his wounds. John's description of Thomas' reaction sounds pretty ghastly, but Thomas' reaction is not unique. Do you remember how Peter and John reacted when Mary Magdalene told them that she had seen the risen Jesus in the garden? They ran to the tomb to see for themselves. They believed once they had seen the empty tomb with their own eyes. Peter and John had no room to be critical of Thomas. And in our own modern day, how many times have we heard or even said, "Huh, I'll believe it when I see it." I'm pretty sure we all know people who only believe in what they can prove empirically through their own experiences. Asking for proof is a very natural response to things that we find hard to believe. When we think about it this way, Thomas' faith was no less sincere than any of the other disciples. Although he asked questions, Thomas was not showing any more doubt than any of the others had. I mean, after all, they weren't talking about an everyday event. They were talking about a beloved friend who had miraculously come back from the dead. I think we have to give these first-generation disciples a little bit of credit here. The story of Jesus' resurrection might be familiar to us because we've had 2,000 years to get used to the idea. When we read about those very first disciples, people like Mary, Peter, John, and even Thomas, we are reminded that they were living these stories for the very first time. This was their very first Easter. They had not grown up with these stories. They were simply people who were trying to make sense of the world while they grieved the death of a friend. There's one more little piece in this story that I think is important. John mentions it so briefly that it could be easily overlooked. As John describes Jesus' first appearance in that upper room, he tells his readers, "Jesus said to those that were gathered, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.'" Today's section of John's Gospel concludes with these words. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. If we simply connect those two statements, we begin to see how seriously John is taking Jesus' mandate, in which Jesus sent his followers out to share all that they had experienced in their time with Jesus. Let's not forget that today we also have a reading from the first letter of John. Christian tradition holds that this letter was written by the Apostle John, the same person who wrote the Gospel of John, and that they were both written at about 50 or 60 years after Jesus' crucifixion. The letter of 1 John opens with the author's assertion, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." When we hold these three things side by side, we begin to see that John took this charge to communicate Christ's message seriously. He did not take Jesus' message about being sent out lightly. It became a way of life for him. Having had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, John spent the next 50 to 60 years of his life trying to communicate that experience to others so that they might experience it too. There's a running joke among some clergy colleagues of mine that no good idea goes unstolen. It's a good-natured way of saying that if one person has a great idea that works in their context, then that idea might be worth trying out in a different venue. We see this in many walks of life, from Henry Ford's assembly line, to Edison's light bulb, to life-saving cures and vaccines. Someone has a good idea or makes a good discovery, and it takes root and grows for the benefit of many. A colleague recently shared an idea that their church's youth group sponsored for this Sunday in church. The youth group director for this particular church went out and purchased a number of little Jesus figurines, each about 2 inches tall. Then they gathered with the youth of the parish and scattered the figurines all throughout the church building. The kids were given the instructions not to bunch up and not to place their charges in an obvious location. There was one on the coffee maker in the kitchen, one on the organ bench, one on the collection plate, one stood atop the hand sanitizer in the front entranceway. Anyway, you get the idea. There were 40 to 50 little Jesus figures all through the church, enough so that every parishioner could take one home. After the dismissal, everyone was encouraged to go out and find Jesus. You might have to look, and you might not find him in the kinds of places that you might expect, but he's out there. This struck me as a great metaphor as we celebrate the next 50 days of the Easter season. Not only are we invited to encounter the resurrected Christ for ourselves, as disciples of Christ, we are also mandated to invite others to encounter him as well. Let's pray. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts so that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace, to the praise of God, the source of all life. Amen.